So what I like thinking about is like, what are the least sexy businesses? Those are always the best businesses. Now, like a consumer facing, like for us, because we're consumer facing, we've got this like purplish brand. It feels sexy. It's not at all sexy when you're operating it. That's why I think it's a great business. Yeah. Right? I usually think that if a business is sexy, there's something wrong with it.
What do you think is one of the biggest reasons or the emotion which led you choose entrepreneurship as career? Is it ambition? Is it glamour? Is it impact? Is it like, what was it?
I have no idea what entrepreneurship was. Like, yeah. I didn't know what like a company was.
It's not a very cool shirt. Like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that's
what a very cool shirt. Exactly.
Like that's.
We just wanted to build something. We were just pissed off that like, that like groceries were very difficult to get when we were just like
in the pandemic,
in like two bachelors living in Mumbai. And we were like, let's build something cool that might.
So you both were in Mumbai. Okay. Now let's get to this Zepto story. Okay. But before we get down to there, like, I want to ask you this, how did you guys identify like there's something which you can build and people are ready to pay value for or people will value? Like you said something in the beginning, right?
So you can...
You're pretty good with that.
Like you can figure out if this is a problem if you're facing it yourself, right? I think for the two of us, we were in Mumbai, living in like this, like as two bachelors, first wave of the pandemic. At the time, online players were taking like five, six days to get it was, and we couldn't manage that. Like it started getting canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
And like we're not
the fastest like, was like 3 days.
Yeah,
I remember. And we were like, and we were not like prepared for that, right? And it's not like two bachelors from Mumbai are like the most prepared people on the planet, but we were like specifically not prepared. And at the same time, like the local store ecosystem was also under, I mean, understandably a lot of stress, right? Because of the whole
situation. You know,
the whole situation. And that's when we said, and you know, we were also spoiled by like products in the US, like Instacart, et cetera. And we said, you know, we need to figure something out here.
Yeah,
I mean, it was not even like we need to now build a product and be entrepreneurs and build a big business. That was not the mentality. That was just like, oh, this sucks. Let's figure something out.
About it.
Yeah, let's just figure out something. Right? Yeah, we were just like, we had nothing to do. We were literally, I remember we would just like watch really stupid TV shows.
Inside.
And we were like, oh man, we were like, this is so boring.
Yeah.
This and like this grocery thing is painful. Let's just do something about it. See what happens. And that was it. There was no like, this is the moment we become entrepreneur moment. Like that did not happen at all.
Didn't anyone else ask you like, who the fuck needs groceries in 10 minutes? Like,
why? At the time, we were not,
on Twitter asking. I know this.
But we weren't delivering in 10 minutes at the time. We were just delivering local stores.
That happened like a lot later.
Okay.
So that happened at the end of YC, I think. Initially, we weren't doing that.
When did you come up with this idea? Like, we want to deliver groceries in 10 minutes.
So,
and why did you come up with this idea?
So, you know, the way we approached it was, so, you know, when we were initially scaling this like model that we had delivering from, delivering in like 45 minutes an hour, there were just like near the, you know, there were just a certain set of customers that because they were close to where we were delivering from, would just get deliveries faster. Like just short, because I mean, they just live closer to where we were delivering from.
Mm.
And when we were scaling it, it was not super exciting. There were like some problems with the app. 45 to 60 minutes was not super compelling for customers. And when we saw the retention rates in the NPS at the time, we were not super, it was not like mind-blowing levels of exciting, right? So we were like, okay, kind of something, kind of growing. What do we do with it? Not really sure. And so we started looking at the data and we said, okay, how do we find product market fit? And YC really helps, like drills down that mentality of product market fit seeking, you know, exercises, right? And so we looked at all the data and we tried to cut it in multiple different ways. So we looked at retention and we said, okay, retention looks like this on an aggregate basis. If I cut it based on like what people are ordering, I get this. If I, you know, cut it based on the price points people are ordering it, I get this. And then we said, okay, that's not working. And then eventually we took a step back and then we started segmenting based on delivery time. So what's the average delivery time? And we saw something pretty interesting, which is the folks that were structurally getting deliveries faster, just because of no other reason other than the simple like serendipity of living closer to where we delivered from. They would get deliveries in like 15 minutes, 30 minutes, nothing special that we were doing, but they just ended up getting it done. And their retention rates were much better. Their NPS was much better. Their frequency of usage was much better.
They were referring their friends a lot more frequently.
So exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every metric that we were measuring was just significantly better.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And so we were like, okay, there's something interesting here. And then we tried scaling it. And then we tried, you know, building the infrastructure to make it a lot better. And it ended up doing super well. So yeah, I think that's how we ended up getting here to this model. Yeah. Yeah.
10-minute thing. Because you found out that data, like people are ordering and getting the deliveries faster.
That's what they want.
More chances of, yeah. What do you think is a major reason, okay, that why you're valued at what, where you're valued? Let's say $500 million is what your value, current valuation is.
Right? 600 million.
Series A, B, C.
I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just scale, right? I think.
Yeah, scale, what we're doing, rate of growth. I think it's, yeah.
Well, one of the, I mean, this is not to toot our own horns, but to maybe toot the entire team's horn, were, you know, one of the fastest growing companies in Indian history right now. In fact, the
fastest e-commerce company.
Yeah, currently the fastest growing e-commerce company in Indian history. And frankly, the revenue multiple that we're operating on is very low for the valuation that we have. So we're actually pretty, any founder would say that, but we feel very undervalued. I mean, frankly, we just closed this round, but the thing is, it's very difficult for valuation investors to keep up when the business is like doubling every month. Yeah, it's not possible. So, you know, one of the fastest growing companies out there, just look at pure revenue multiples, we're doing super well. And I think, you know, we're in a position where, and, you know, which is especially important in markets like these, you know, we're in a position where we've actually drilled down to pretty significant depth. What are you like, you know, what this model looks like profitable. We've got some of our most mature micro markets on every operating metric. We've got it profitable. So if you look at it from an investor perspective, you're like, holy cow, this is an insanely fast-growing business. The revenue multiple that they're operating on is very low, like even as low as like for a business that's growing, you know, 2-3,000% a year, is like operating at public market multiples, except public market companies grow like 50% a year, less. Right? Yeah. Less, right?
Yeah.
So you've got like crazy multiple, like very conservative, growing insanely fast, and very clear picture on what, you know, profitability looks like. And see, frankly, the way I look at it is that, you know, you've got pros and cons with every model, right? Any model that you do, especially in the online to offline world, you have, let's say, food delivery or ride sharing.
Hmm.
And I'm no specific context. I'm just talking about globally, right? They are relatively much easier to scale. Because if I want to scale a ride sharing platform, I get guys with cars, part-time, obviously it depends on the country, but I basically get tons of guys, set them out there, and I can start scaling it.
Right.
Food delivery, something similar, restaurants, riders, and I can start scaling it. It's easier to scale, a little bit lighter to scale. So less capital intensive to scale.
Mm.
But the con is that the unit economics are actually pretty tight. And like the end state EBITDA of the business is not, I mean, it's still great and it's definitely not an unprofitable business. It is like, if you look at some like European markets, it's already profitable. And even in India, right? Like the food delivery players are operating on pretty good like end state unit economics right now. But it is very tight compared to unit economics. So easier to scale, still tight on unit economics, very doable. People are doing it. The way we look at this model is that actually, at least in the way we operate it, is that the unit economics are much clearer. It's a lot easier, right? So we've done it very quickly, like 5-6 months, proven out. Full-blown unit economic structure, multiple micro markets.
Makes sense.
But it is obviously, there's a lot more infrastructure. It's a lot more complexity to scale, hence capital. So I look at the pro of this being unit economics are clear, con being capital intensive. Flip side, let's say if I was building a ride-sharing business, tied on unit economics, but less capital to scale. So
makes
sense. But to answer your question, why is the company valued at 600 million? Like fast-growing revenue plus clear profitability equals like an undervalued business.
Clear path to profitability and traction is
exactly.
That's the key. So what's next for you guys? Where are you guys headed? What are you guys? Like, you both are 19. Like, what's the big game?
I'm just going to build this business for the next...
How big?
Many, many years.
How big? Do you have a number?
How big? I mean, it's how well we execute, right?
Yeah, That's there. I'm saying just... But there must be some game. Like, you're, okay, I want to take it to Unicorn, Decacon... I don't know, $1 trillion.
I don't think so.
There's no number.
There's no number.
It's just like
what's the ambition? Like, what's the big game?
The big game is to build something that people want.
So yeah, something that
people already want that. You know,
but like, and get it to a lot of people.
Get so, to a lot, like a lot more people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you actually really want me to tell you the real objective, and this is the right answer, I'm trying to maximize shareholder value. That's the right answer. That is the end state objective, technically, like that I'm supposed to say. And I don't think I'll get in trouble for saying something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the objective is we're going to build a company that we're proud of, that whenever we look back, and we've got a lot of time on our hands in life. So whenever we look back, whatever, 10, 20, 30 years from now, that we're just like proud of the fact that we built a really solid organization. Like if like RK Damani, when he looks back at DMart, you know, he probably feels pretty good about that because he built a really solid organization.
Yep.
And so the objective is just to build a very large, enduring, generational business.
Yeah. Something that outlives us.
And yeah, that's the only objective. And like on a person, that's the personal objective. And then the professional objective is to maximize shareholder value.
Now, what's the next big step which you're taking to make that possible? Like, give me like an exact step. Like, okay, are you getting into white labeling? Are you getting into some kind of different products? Yeah. Like, what do you think can be your next blue star? So you know, if you're allowed to say it.
I think it's more like you're not allowed to say it, but I think I'll give you like a true but very boring answer, right? I think one of the things that, like one of the reasons why I've been able to execute as well as we have is just because of like the relentless focus we have on what we're doing. Right? Yeah. So we don't get distracted. Okay. And I think we just like, we know the business that we're building, and that's all we do. And it's a very big market. It's a very big opportunity. So we don't want to lose sight of the ball, right? So we are focused on what we're doing. The very simple answer right now is we're like building and scaling a machine. We're going to expand into more geographies. We're going to like keep improving the customer experience in the multiple different ways that means in freshness, you know, what kinds of products that people want to buy. You know, how can we improve the consistency of our delivery experience? So the long and short answer is that we're very focused on what we need to do. We are just going to keep doing that and keep growing that, keep improving, like keep constantly improving on that experience. And yeah, so it's currently just like that, like mantra machine of just scale well. That's what we're doing right now.
I heard like you guys are pretty entrepreneurial from the beginning, right?
Yeah. Adit more so than me. I mean, Adit was working on some stuff in high school.
From day one, you guys knew that we're going to be fucking entrepreneurs one day? Like, how did it happen? You guys, both of you, like, let me just acknowledge and like feel really, really small right now because you're fucking 19, both of you. 19-year-old kids, I would say, building some incredibly cool shit. So, like, you guys are 19, let's just say that.
Well said.
And then, like, he was telling me about that. This is not your first thing. You started with something else. And before that also, you were doing something like carpooling and shit. Like at what age, like 12, do you realize that I want to be an entrepreneur?
I think for KV and I, it was just, I think building came fairly naturally to us. Right?
Yeah. And for me, it was just like, I knew at some point I was going to do it. The thought process, okay, we'll go to college, work somewhere.
Why didn't you go to college then?
Because
like if you guys knew that you guys are going to do something like this, why is there a reason you guys?
I think so. I think the thought process, I think we definitely discussed this. The thought process we had at the time was like we were getting reasonably good at a certain point at like identifying products that people were deriving consistent value out of.
Okay.
But the piece that we didn't know as much about was how do you build like the enduring organization around that product, right? How do you build an Airbnb or an Amazon or an Uber or Dropbox? Yeah. And we figured probably the best place in the world, you know, slightly debatable nowadays, but the best place in the world to go and learn that would be Silicon Valley in California.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was what, I mean, I guess to an extent, like college was an excuse to be in that ecosystem. But I don't think we actually ended up learning a lot about company. I mean, we learned quite a bit, but we didn't learn the bulk of company building there. I think it was the job.
I think, like I told you, right? I think when I was in school, I read that Snapchat book how Evan Spiegel built Snapchat while he was at Stanford. And so that's why I decided to apply early to Stanford. Like, it was pretty much that. I think I knew that eventually I was going to do something like that.
What do you think is the next big opportunity in India? Like, the bunch of folks which are walking, again, circling back to the initial point, like, these days, entrepreneurs are by choice. So yeah. They want to become an entrepreneur. I don't know. Maybe it's glamorous. Maybe they want to love it. Maybe they're not finding the joy in what they're doing.
I can't imagine how. Like, I feel no glamour.
Yeah.
Or like, no.
Like, I know there's no glamour. I understand this. I know where you guys are coming from, dude. I know this.
It is just like the most intense.
Yeah.
Not even like a grind, like hustle. Like, sort of like, it's not like that. It's just the most like.
I tell you, the best quote I've ever read on Instagram. I don't know who the fuck said it.
Yeah.
The best quote on Instagram about entrepreneurship is, I left 9 to 5 and now I work 24/7.
Yeah.
And that's entrepreneurship 101. Like, you work 24/7.
Yeah.
So it's not glamorous at all. But people who want to watch, like people who are watching this, they want to get into it. They want to get their hands dirty. What do you feel like? Where is the biggest opportunity? Because you hang out with a bunch of cool people, investors, YC.
Yeah.
You have your friends. If not Zepp, let's say you guys are not doing Zepp.
Yeah. Okay. We had a very interesting, we had a very interesting ed tech idea. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a good one. I think...
You guys want to spill that idea out?
No, I'm saving
it.
Keeping
that in the bank.
I'm going to save that for my little brother, man.
Sweet.
We'll definitely do something like that. But what's the most interesting opportunity in India today? I mean, tons, honestly. I think there's a...
next $1 billion opportunity.
So what I like thinking about is like, what are the least sexy businesses? Those are always the best businesses. Now, like a consumer facing, like for us, because we're consumer facing, we've got this like purplish brand. It feels sexy. It's not at all sexy when you're operating it. That's why I think it's a great business.
Yeah.
Right? I usually think that if a business is sexy, there's something wrong with it. Right? Like that's my philosophy. So like when I look at the opportunities in India, there are a lot of like really boring, like, for example, there's this company and they're doing really well. I won't say the name exactly, but they work with like cattle trading in like really rural India. It's a software company, like software that like helps facilitate cattle trading. And they are huge, like they're growing insanely fast. Yeah. They have like 1 crore downloads.
A lot of them are the ones you talked about. A lot of the value comes from bringing unorganized stuff to organized. Yeah. So everything from like construction. Like construction is not a sexy market. There's companies that are doing...
And like infra market is doing phenomenally well because it's just like...
Organizing.
Why would anyone want to work in that market on the face of it? Like, doesn't sound exciting.
Which market?
Construction.
Like the construction.
Why would you want to start a startup in construction?
Like to help facilitate... Like, again, I'm not super familiar with the model, right? Or like, for example, another really like boring business. This is Y Combinator business called Ironclad. Right?
Yeah,
which is essentially like
not in India, but
it's a software business in I think it's in Seattle.
Yeah.
Right? They just do like contract software, like software lawyers. To help lawyers pass through contracts better, and it's massive. It's massive. Like the business is huge. So the way I look at it is that ideas like that, like software that facilitates cattle trading, not something that's on the surface, not something that's immediately like visible. Those are the opportunities that I'm always usually excited by. Yeah.
And unsexy opportunities. Almost inherently a moat, right? Because
nobody gives
outside
a shit.
It's so like it's not sexy, so you won't have like 100 people running trying to copy it.
Yeah, and like on that point to build off of that, right? Like what we're building on the surface seems very sexy.
Yeah.
When we go into the details, now that we know how insanely painful it is,
yeah.
Our bet is that not many people are going through that pain. Like willing to go. I'm not willing to, but like
we'll just, try to, but then not make.
We'll not go through that pain. Yeah, like it's just not resolved. So yeah, I think. But if I had to get specific. I think right now, I can't think of like a specific industry.
Yeah. There's a lot.
I think, I mean, if what I would be doing if I wasn't doing like online to offline Q-commerce, probably ed tech. I would definitely not be doing a crypto company.
Yeah.
I do understand. Both of us understand it. It's just like, I'm just very... I just don't say anything about crypto because I know that it's probably, I mean, it'll definitely be big, but like I'm not invested in it or like, you know, have a stake in it. But like, you know, how you must have, if like people in the 1980s and 90s that thought the internet was going to be a fad, they must feel really stupid right now, right? So I just don't say anything about it. Right. So that, like my worst case scenario is I was just a passive observer. So I don't think I'll do a crypto company. It just doesn't excite me for whatever reason. I think EdTech would probably be interesting. EdTech is great. Yeah, EdTech in India is huge.
And you would always end up doing something atoms, right? Something
on yeah, I really like, I really, and it's pretty sadistic. I really like atoms business.
So, yeah, there's this discussions I always have about atoms businesses, which in the real world, or like bits or like online businesses. So I think Adam's a big fan of online to offline stuff. So
horrible, no margins. Very limited margins in that.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. Thanks, man. Thanks a lot. This is nice to hear about both of you guys. You guys are all like crazily optimized and clear about what you got to do. What are your strengths? What you exactly are trying to build? And I love the part where I was trying to get like a lot of answers from a lot of different places, but like throughout every answer and throughout the conversation, one thing stood out is like, we're pretty focused at what we do. And yeah, that stood out in pretty much every answer. In fact, I saw that like, if there's some kind of answer which you got to take, both of you know that he's going to answer. Like, there's no clash, dude. That's very rare, because usually that both the founders speak, yeah, both the founders know what to speak, what not to speak, but this is pretty good. So
thanks, man.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Wow. Awesome being here, man. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.